happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
And Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, you may have heard of him. His anti-LGBTQ crusade is on steroids. He signed another raft of bigoted bills, as did governors in Tennessee and Montana.
Meanwhile, the NAACP has issued an advisory warning, as did Equality Florida last week, an advisory warning of the dangers to people of color and LGBTQ people traveling to Florida, as did the League of Latin American Citizens over DeSantis's anti-immigrant laws.
Some pride committees in Florida are running scared and canceling events out of fear of DeSantis's new laws or just plain fear. Others are standing up to the bullies.
It's amazing that we live in this country at this time. On a U.S. House motion to expel George Santos, surprise, all Republicans voted to keep him.
Senator Ted Cruz is investigating Bud Light over its partnership with trans influencer Dylan Mulvaney.
Frankly, I can't even figure out why we make this a headline. It's so tiny and silly.
Well,
to be discussed. The U.S. Department of Education is suing a Georgia school district for their removal of LGBTQ-themed books.
Fox News is being attacked by the further right for respecting trans identities in the workplace.
Crazy. And the L.A. Dodgers got themselves into and maybe out of hot water this week. First, they rescinded an honor to a historic LGBTQ group for their Pride Night at the behest of anti-LGBTQ bigots. But then they got tons of flack and invited the group back to be honored.
Gay artist Andy Warhol, the late Andy Warhol, lost a big copyright case at the U.S. Supreme Court,
which is going to affect a lot of people who are still living. Marriage equality is advancing in Thailand and Estonia, and Romania has been ordered to get with the program by the European Union court.
I'm going to review Monsoon Wedding, the musical, now on in Brooklyn.
And lesbian cartoonist Alison Bechdel has a new audiobook of her Dykes to Watch Out For.
So we have a lot of news from Florida, and we start with what my friend Tony calls Governor DeSantis there. He's really doubling down. Well, first of all, he's doubling down on the fight with Disney after the CEO, Robert Iger, nixed a $1 billion investment in the new office campus. Disney employees in California made it clear they don't want to move to DeSantis's nightmare vision of the free state of Florida with a 6-week abortion ban, destruction of free speech in schools and colleges. Don't say gays. So DeSantis started to get ridiculed by Trump and even criticized by Mike Pence for his anti-business crusade. Our friend out Fred Hochberg, who was chair of the U.S. Export-Import Bank under Obama, said DeSantis is repelling foreign investment and would be a disastrous president on that score if he continues down that path. But none of this is deterring DeSantis at all. But maybe these travel advisories.
Well, I don't think the travel advisories are going to have a huge impact. I think if people want to go to Florida, they're going to go to Florida. Until there starts to be word of people actually being attacked, I don't think the travel advisories will have much impact. But I think it's cool to do them. You want to raise the flag whenever you can. But he's costing Florida 2,000 Disney jobs by Disney canceling that new campus. It's a sort of office complex. And all of those jobs are going to be relocated in California, and the California employees are not going to Florida. And I just don't see how DeSantis is going to get past stuff like this to gain any foothold on a presidential campaign. We had a picture of the NAACP president there, Derek Johnson.
Yes.
Who put out the travel warning there. This is because, you know, they've canceled all Black history classes in schools. They've rescinded any ability to talk about diversity, equity and inclusion. Those are all illegal now. They're literally erasing anyone but white straight people in Florida. From the state's point of view, they want us erased. They want Black people erased. They want other people. He signed a bill forbidding Chinese investment in Florida. They just want everybody gone except their kind.
And the League of Latin American Citizens says the anti-immigration laws are so draconian. I mean, people are going to, anybody Latinx is going to start to get stopped on the street and asked for their papers, basically, the way things are going.
Well, that's certainly the kind of thing that could convince people not to go to Florida or to get out of there. A lot of people are getting out of Florida if they can afford it, if they have someplace else to go. But meanwhile, life goes on there. And
well, let's talk about how he responded to all these calls for travel advisories to Florida.
This is a stunt to try to do that. It's a pure stunt. And fine, if you want to waste your time on a stunt, that's fine. Look, but I'm not wasting my time on your stunts, okay?
Such an attractive presidential candidate, isn't he?
He's terrible. It is impossible to imagine that anything but a very few people are going to support this kind of behavior.
He's the second choice of the Trump voters.
Well, yes, but it's still way behind Trump. And when more people see him on the stump around the nation, I don't think he's going to wear well.
Well, you know, on the campaign trail, he's now soft pedaling his anti-abortion stance. I mean, he signed a 15-week ban, and then last week signs a 6-week ban, among all the other horrible things that he did.
Well, I am very hungry for people to go after him and start really revealing who he is, although he's doing a pretty good job of it.
And you should say that it was Equality Florida that issued the first travel advisory, and they were joined by the Human Rights Campaign in supporting that this week.
And they have endorsed the NAACP advisory, too, and collaborated across the board on all these issues.
Well, you say, could it lead to violence? Well, let's go to Orlando. A traffic sign on Wednesday was hacked to read "Kill all gays" in bright orange letters. Mayor Buddy Dyer called it a disgusting display. No response from Governor DeSantis. This is the city of the Pulse massacre in 2016. Police are investigating, Pulse massacre. 49 people killed in an LGBTQ Latinx club.
And he signed a lot more anti-LGBTQ plus bills this week. No medical care for trans youth. No drag shows that come anywhere near kids, which means all of them. No respecting people's chosen pronouns. And no access to bathrooms other than for your birth gender identity.
They're making it a crime to admit minors to a drag show. That's what they're doing.
And they are threatening, and this has led to threats against all pride festivals, because just our presence in any form is anathema. So Tampa, Wilton Manors, and Port St. Lucie have canceled their prides. And all under this no drag shows for kids.
Well, some of them are just afraid. They're all acting in fear. In Wilton Manors, where the city commission is all gay, They're afraid of losing their jobs, that DeSantis would reach in and remove them if they give a permit to a parade that allows drag. So they say, well, they say it's okay to be in the parade as long as you don't perform, but we won't have any drag performing events. So it's really cowardly. I will say, I mean, look, I'm not down there, but I think I know what we would do here if they tried to do that to us. We would stand up to it. And some people are standing up to it.
Yes. Some cities have said, we don't care how you threaten us. We're going to hold our pride parade and festivals. We're going to go right ahead. Go ahead. Come on in. Arrest us.
I mean,
what he is supposedly banning are sexualized performances. But that is not, of course, what happens at pride parades or most of these drag performances. But he is just using this to get his foot in the door, and then he scares everybody, and then things get canceled.
Hamburger Mary's in Orlando, a store, a restaurant, is suing DeSantis and the state in federal court, claiming the restaurant's been deprived of First Amendment rights and is losing customers under the new law affecting drag shows. They're asking the court to stop the enforcement of the law. They host drag bingo, trivia, comedy on Sundays. They invite children on Sundays to family-friendly drag shows. And after the law was signed, they told customers that children would not be allowed into the Sunday shows, and they lost 20% of their business as a result. They face loss of liquor license and criminal penalties by standing up to him.
And this is the guy who claims that he stands for freedom. That's in the title of his book. It's all about freedom. And when are people going to stand up and say freedom? Look at this list of things he's shutting down. In Escambia County, parents and Penguin Random House publishers are suing over book bans. And now that Amanda Gorman, the young poet who spoke at Biden's inauguration, has had her poem banned in a school.
Objections from one parent.
One parent can now shut down literature and history in the state of Florida. Well, I expect to see a reaction to that. Maybe this will serve as a great empowerment tool for people all over Florida.
Hey, Florida viewers, when are you going to start objecting to the Bible? Just one of you has to object to it, and they're supposed to remove it.
I saw a wonderful, I don't know if you saw this piece, I think it was in Vanity Fair this week, about the new college alternate graduation.
Yes.
It was fantastic. It was all about how the students at New College, which was a very liberal college in Sarasota, which is not a liberal area, DeSantis is taking over and transforming into a right-wing institution. But the students who are still there under the old administration, most of whom have been fired, held an alternate graduation ceremony. And it was just fantastic. And all the quotes from them and everybody talking about what a disaster this whole thing has been. It was a very inspiring piece.
There was a lot of resistance at the actual graduation where they imposed Dr. Scott Atlas, a COVID denialist. He was Trump's health advisor, to give the commencement address. He was greeted by students' jeers and boos as he droned on and they started chanting, wrap it up, wrap it up.
Yeah. Our leaders of tomorrow and today, these students of New College.
About the suits about books, the U.S. Department of Education says a Georgia school district book ban created a hostile environment and violated students' civil rights. So this is the Forsyth County Schools. They're charged with discrimination. Now, they say on race, sex, color, and national origin, based on the removal of 14 books, but they do cite a lot of LGBTQI subject matter that has been removed. And, the LGBTQ books had to be plastered with a sticker saying LGBTQ, watch out. And they said, look, this can subject kids to bullying if they're trying to check out a book and it's, heavily marked, that they're doing so. So they're saying, cut it out, and they're suing.
Well, it's fun times in Florida these days. But this stuff is not only happening in Florida. It is happening around the country and around the world, in fact. And this year, I was happy to get back to Brighton Beach, Brooklyn, here in New York, for the 7th annual Brighton Beach Pride Parade. This is put on by Russian emigre LGBTQ plus people in a very, very conservative part of New York City, which is largely inhabited by very conservative Russian emigres who I think are longing for the return of Stalin. But
do they support the war out there for the Russians?
Well, the first year we marched in 2017, there were a lot of dirty looks, a lot of complaints, a lot of shouting at us, very, very, very little support. This year, now 6 years later for the 7th annual march, there's a lot more support, a lot calmer atmosphere, a lot of Ukraine flags. And I got this lovely little wristband that says RUSA LGBTQ plus. That's the organization, RUSA LGBTQ plus, that yes. puts on the parade. But even in Brighton Beach, one speaker got up and said, you know, as we were marching along the boardwalk, some woman stopped and said to me, you should all be dead. I thought, where have I heard that before?
I've heard it many times.
Yes. So the fight is to be fought everywhere.
But there was Yelena Goltsman, a native of Kyiv, who left when it was still part of the Soviet Union. She was one of the main speakers. You might recognize Anne there as well.
Yelena is one of the founders of this march, along with her friend Nina and Leosha, and they were all there, and it was just great to see them, and it was a beautiful sunny day.
So then Masha Gessen spoke to the crowd in Russian, so I don't have a translation of that.
No, and I then, felt a little left out, but I thought it's good to feel a little humble.
Masha Gessen was just given an award, an Arts and Letters Award, no, the Blake Dodd Prize, from the American Academy of Arts and Letters, among other LGBTQ people. And then Ann Northrup spoke, and if I may quote, Ann said to them, "What is going to change the world? What is going to win is grassroots action, not relying on the government, which lies and cheats and abuses everybody."
Not my most articulate speech, but my point is that as I watch these politicians, you know, these politicians are 99% of them. Well, I'll give them a little benefit of the doubt. 95% of them are there to just perpetuate themselves and their own power. And they're not really in the business of getting much done. So I start to weep when I think of people going to politicians and sort of begging them to do things, when in fact, what we need to do is exert our power on politicians and make them do things by showing up in enough critical mass to influence them. And so I cited the example of ending the Vietnam War by getting people out in the streets, and the women's movement, and the LGBTQ movement. Everything starts with the people, and the people in the streets, or the people in the courts, or the people wherever. But the people have got to get off their rear ends and go do something.
Right. Well, do you think the people can have any effect on the insufferable U.S. Senator from Texas, Ted Cruz? He announced that he opened an investigation into whether Anheuser-Busch's partnership with trans influencer Dylan Mulvaney violates the Beer Institute's guidelines prohibiting marketing to underage individuals, and so many of her followers, I mean, are underage, but I mean, my God, they do beer commercials on TV, for God's sakes, and kids see it, so what's the difference? He wrote to the company saying, the investigation would be dropped if they sever their relationship with Mulvaney and apologize to the American people for marketing to minors. Wow.
Ted Cruz, desperate for relevance.
Okay.
No one's paying any attention to him.
Well, some right-wing groups are paying attention. Farther right groups are paying attention to Fox News They're under attack from for complying with New York and California law and respecting trans employees' identities. So the further right broadcaster, Matt Walsh of the Daily Signal, is calling for a boycott of Fox News for caving to woke ideology, such as letting employees pick their preferred pronouns, and their handbook explains how to be sensitive to those who are transitioning.
I'm going to be very curious to see how Fox responds to this and responds to everything they've been through, and will they become more mainstream or will they be...
Laura Ingraham, forget it. Sean Hannity, forget it.
Well, we got rid of Tucker Carlson. Maybe we can knock them off too.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, it would.
Not under the Antichrist, Rupert Murdoch.
He can't live forever.
Sorry?
He can't live forever.
Where are we now on our list of things here?
Well, let's go to Nebraska and finish that story, because we have been following for some weeks now the heroic efforts of State Senator Michaela Kavanaugh and her cohorts, who there she is trying loudly to stop the end of her filibuster against anti-trans laws. The Republicans finally got themselves organized, watered down the bill a teeny tiny bit, enough to get all of them on board to break the filibuster that Michaela and others were doing. They passed the bill, the anti-trans bill, along with an anti-abortion bill. The compromise was that they settled for a 12-week limit on pregnancy before abortion.
As opposed to six.
Yeah. Yes. And they said that trans care needed state approval, basically. The state has designated some medical, charlatan to pass judgment on whether youth can get any kind of trans care. Sure. So the bills passed as a combo. Senator Michaela Kavanaugh got up and gave this really powerful speech about, we need trans people. We love trans people, but it didn't switch any votes.
Well, she also said, I think the only victory is that trans people, especially trans youth, are no longer invisible. And yes, we're getting killed in a lot of these legislative votes, but people are hearing about and talking about the existence of trans youth and LGBTQ people across the country. It can be hard. You know, when we fought for condoms in the schools, I never thought we'd get it. We put it in the proposal, and we knew at least it would be debated and everybody would know, you need to use a condom. There's an AIDS crisis.
No, I agree completely. And I think all of this has in many ways been a big leap forward. And we've known always that you have to desensitize people to us to begin with. When we started this work, it was all about desensitizing people to just seeing gay people or same sex kissing. And I think the same is happening now with trans people. And hundreds of people showed up at the Nebraska Capitol as this debate was going on to protest very loudly what the right wing was doing. Six people got arrested. That's the kind of action that's necessary to move us forward.
And say what you want about the old man in the White House, Joe Biden, but he's running his campaign on freedom, and he's going to attack on these issues and say, you think this is freedom? He's going to take that on. That's his
good. I hope he isn't too subtle about it.
Okay.
His subtlety is not the answer.
No. In Montana, Republican Governor Gianforte signed a bill that legally erases trans and non-binary identities, including that of his non-binary child, David. The law says a person's sex can only be a male or a female based on gamete size and chromosomes. A person's sex cannot be changed. Planned Parenthood called it the most disgraceful, heartless, and targeted of Republican attacks on LGBTQ people in the country. There's some taking into account of intersex people, which they don't quite know what to do with. It's very convoluted. And trans rep, don't forget, Zoe Zephyr was not allowed to speak on the floor about these bills.
And it's being called the LGBTQ Erasure Act. And this is what I mean by they want us to disappear, literally disappear.
Well, they're not disappearing in Bozeman, Montana. They resumed their pride after a 10-year absence and had a pride stroll picketed by 20 cowardly white supremacists who wore masks because they don't want you to know who they are. The pride stroll was organized by the Countship of Imperial Sovereign Court. The crowd drowned out the bigots, and Zoe Zephyr was there saying, "Pride is our protest."
Okay. Well, if we want to go down these states, in Oklahoma, Lambda and the ACLU signed a binding agreement with the Oklahoma Attorney General that the state will not enforce the no trans youth medical care bill that was passed while the lawyers seek an injunction from it going into effect. So that's kind of good, although I don't know whether they'll get their injunction or be able to overturn the law. But getting the attorney general to agree to hold off on enforcement is a good thing.
By the way, going back to Biden for a second, he's ready to take him on in Florida in the presidential campaign or whoever the Republicans nominate because of the extremism there. In Alabama, activists marched against anti-LGBTQ legislation, and we have a local report from there.
Well, hundreds of people gathered in Montgomery today protesting a handful of bills they say would negatively impact the LGBTQ plus community.
CBS 42 State Capitol reporter Maddie Beertemple has more from that march today.
They made their way from the judicial building downtown to the Capitol to here at the State House, urging lawmakers not to pass these bills.
This is 401.
That bill, HB 401, bans drag shows in public places where children are present. It's one of a handful of bills demonstrators say target the LGBTQ plus community.
Our rights are under attack. Trans people specifically, our First Amendment right to perform as drag entertainment, our ability to just be gay in public.
Lori Ellison with Rocket City Pride came from Huntsville to join the march. She says lawmakers need to know that LGBTQ people aren't going away.
It is so important that the LGBTQ plus community be able to be visible and just exist.
Another bill bans transgender athletes at the college level, while another defines man and woman. Rob Dodge says lawmakers should focus on other issues.
There's more things out there that we need to be checking on and taking care of besides worrying about the LGBT community. Number one, we need to worry about the gun violence in our schools.
Representative Susan DeBose is sponsoring the bill defining man and woman. She says there could be safety ramifications without something like this in law.
Think about a women's prison or a rape crisis center or a domestic violence center. Those places where women need to feel safe and protected, it's important that we get it right.
So far, just one of the bills being protested here has made it through both houses. That's the one banning transgender athletes at the college level. It now awaits Governor Ivey's signature. Reporting in Montgomery, Maddie Beertemple, CBS 42 News, local coverage you can count on.
Like any of these people care about the safety of prisoners.
Well, again, you see the horror of the bills they're passing. And the beauty, the absolute heroism of the people in the streets coming out to protest and the wide diversity of people in the streets protesting. Very heartening.
All right. Before we get to some more bad news, good news from Maryland. A bill to repeal the state's unconstitutional anti-sodomy law will take effect. For some reason, without the signature of the new governor, Wes Moore.
Yeah, I don't get that. Why?
I didn't get an explanation for that either. But he did sign the Trans Health Equity Act this month, which requires Medicaid to cover gender-affirming treatment, and also repealed laws against fornication and adultery.
And the sodomy law gets repealed whether he signs it or not. So I guess we'll give him a pass on that. In Mississippi, the ACLU is suing the Harrison County School District because a trans girl at the high school is not being allowed to graduate in a dress and heels. Now, here's the thing. She's been out as a trans student for 4 years at the school, 4 years, accepted by all her classmates, accepted by the faculty. Everything's been fine. And she was adhering to the school dress code as a trans girl by wearing a dress and heels under her graduation robe. But the school suddenly says, no, no, you can't do that. You're not a girl and you can't dress like that. They went to court. The judge said, ruled against her. And so she didn't go to graduation.
The judge says they don't have a constitutional right to go to the graduation. I mean, it's just outrageous. But this student, identified as LB, did speak at the, they had a big trans youth prom in Washington, D.C., on the National Mall, trans people from, trans youth from 17 states, 200 people. And LB spoke and said, together, one by one, state by state, vote by vote, we can construct a better world. Transgender youth have always been here. And rest assured, we're here to stay. And this was organized by trans youth with the support of some celebrities like Elliot Page, Lily Wachowski, Demi Lovato and Ariana Grande and Peppermint.
I'm only sorry that I won't live long enough to see the transformed world that these people are going to create a few decades from now.
It's happening right now.
Or maybe
but
I'll
not,
hear
but not in Tennessee. Well, some people are standing up in Tennessee, but Governor Bill Lee signed 3 more anti-LGBTQ bills, bringing his grand total to 7 this year. And Tennessee already had distinguished itself as the state with the hate slate in previous years. Now, these 3 bills, teachers don't have to honor students' pronouns. Sex is now immutable, biological sex at birth, and public education entities are now forbidden from requiring staff or teachers to participate in implicit bias training. So that's 19 anti-LGBTQ bills passed and signed since 2015.
Don't you think it's just rude for people not to honor people's pronouns?
It's all about politeness. You know, when you meet someone, you say, what's your name? And they say, my name is Joe. You don't say, oh, Joseph. No. They want to be called Joe. You call them Joe, whatever. It is just politeness.
All right.
New Jersey, on the other hand, has introduced legislation to ban book bans. Public libraries are going to be required to adopt the American Library Association's Library Bill of Rights or a similar policy.
Where is that?
That's New Jersey.
Okay.
And that's a bill. That's legislation.
Well, the Superior Court in New Jersey granted a request from the Attorney General to enjoin Hanover Township's Board of Ed their order that schools inform parents of the kids to their parents. So that's good news. But they're having a real fight in New Jersey. There is a strong conservative streak in parts of New Jersey. So they have a little battle going on there.
And with all the threats, we've talked about a lot of the threats to pride and violence. I do want to say this is something we're going to include in our email. The Institute for Constitutional Advocacy and Protection at Georgetown Law has issued guidance for protecting pride events from armed extremist activity. And we will link to that.
In Texas and Florida, LGBTQ plus lawyers from our main legal groups are suing over the bans on trans youth medical care. And in Minnesota, an omnibus public safety bill has been passed proposed that repeals the sodomy law and laws against other sex crimes, creates gender identity as a protected category, and establishes non-discrimination laws for gender identity and sexual orientation.
But in Texas, they did give final approval to the bill restricting children from seeing sexually explicit performances, originally targeting drag, but now does not explicitly say that. Passed the House, comes with a $10,000 fine for an establishment, and for the performers, they face a year in jail, $4,000 fine, or both. The Senate bill did target drag, so they have to, you know, get these. Now, the House LGBTQ caucus approved of the House changes, which took drag out. They now have to monitor the conference process, and the ACLU says the bill is a wolf in sheep's clothing.
We're going to have to talk faster. You know the Manhattan Institute, the conservative organization here in New York? Well, they've been busy in other parts of the country. They leaked the medical records of trans teens from Texas Children's Hospital, thereby promoting the witch hunt that's underway in Texas to find medical facilities that are still treating trans youth against the laws of Texas.
Right.
So the Manhattan Institute is ferreting out medical providers in Texas who are continuing to treat trans youth.
And St. George, Utah drag stars filed a lawsuit challenging the city's censorship of drag performances. It's an ACLU case. They were denied a permit for a family-friendly drag show in violation of the First and 14th Amendments.
All right, let's go to California, where you would have thought that everything was okay until Marco Rubio from Florida got involved because he employs the some family members of executives of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
And so the Dodgers were ready to honor. We should show this picture first. They were ready to honor the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, which has been around since 1979. They do a lot of charity work. They did AIDS work, everything else. They were ready to do it. But then, as you said, Marco Rubio spoke up, and Archie Bunker himself, William Donahue of the Catholic League for Religious and Civil Rights. This guy is a notorious anti-gay bigot, and that's what the Dodgers responded to. So they weren't they you know, so as a result of saying we're not going to honor the sisters, the LA Community Center pulled out, LGBTQ, the ACLU pulled out, everybody pulled out.
The Pride organization pulled out. Congressman Robert Garcia started yelling about this is cowardice and divisive on the part of the Dodgers. He went after them. Everybody went after them.
So the Dodgers met with the sisters.
And in between, the Anaheim Angels or LA Angels, I'm not sure which they're called these days, stepped up and said, we will honor the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
Well, it was the mayor of Anaheim, Ashley Aitken, who invited them to the Pride Night as her guest at the Angels Pride Night. That was kind of the way it went down.
But it shamed the Dodgers as part of this. And so the Dodgers, as you say, met with the sisters. And the sisters were very gracious when all this first happened. They didn't get up and scream and yell. They just said, you know, we don't think this is the right decision, but, you know, we're being gracious. And the Dodgers met with them and then issued an apology, and a very heartfelt apology that praised the sisters for being gracious. And now they're all lovey-dovey again.
And by the way, you mentioned all the Pride events like in Florida that have been canceled or modified, Tampa Pride, Fort Lauderdale, St. Cloud. Lake County, Florida has vowed to go on with theirs. No unconstitutional law will keep us from celebrating our Pride event.
Exactly. So the Sisters of, I have to say, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence have always been a little on the edge. And the fact that the Dodgers were honoring them in the first place was pretty hilarious. I once went to a Creating Change conference where they gave a workshop on doing AIDS education by making condoms a sacrament. And it was very impressive, but very edgy.
All right. Target stores, they're removing items from their LGBTQ merchandise line ahead of Pride Month after intense and sometimes violent backlash from some customers, threats to safety. So they're removing some items, especially the tuck-friendly women's swimsuit for trans women. Other Pride merchandise is moved from the front of the store to the back of the store, especially in southern states. They've got 2,000 items in the Pride line. But the bigots have seized upon this.
Yeah, with lies. You know, they claim that these tuck-friendly swimsuits are for kids. They're not. They're for adults. And they claim that the designer, who is English, is satanic because he puts little devils on some of his materials.
Well, it was good to see Brittany Griner back in action in regular season play on Friday at her Phoenix Mercury game with the L.A. Sparks. It was the most viewed regular season WNBA cable show in 24 years, a million viewers, despite an 11:20 p.m. start in the East. The Sparks beat the Mercury 94-71, but Griner led Phoenix with 18 points. Not bad after 600 days in a Russian jail. She got a very warm welcome, and Kamala Harris was there.
She's trying. Kamala's trying. And it's good to see our old pal Randy Wicker finally being honored as one of the grand marshals of the New York City Pride Parade. Long, long overdue. A very original gay activist and a sweetheart of a guy. Made a great film about Marsha P. Johnson, who lived with him in his New Jersey apartment for a long time. And they're also honoring, Billy Porter is also a grand marshal, and Yasmin Benoit and A.C. Dumlow and Hope Giselle. And separately from this, there is a speaking event at the Stonewall Park. And Randy, who you see in his younger days there in the middle with his arm outstretched, is one of the speakers. And that's going to be next Friday, June 2nd. 3 to 5 p.m. at the Stonewall Park, and that's that should be a great event.
U.S. Supreme Court dealt a blow to the Andy Warhol Foundation, ruling 7-2, with Kagan and Roberts dissenting that Warhol's use of a photo here of Prince by Lynn Goldsmith constituted copyright infringement. Sotomayor wrote the majority opinion, writing that Warhol's image was substantially the same as the photograph. Kagan disagreed that Andy's silkscreen was just a modest alteration.
It's a longstanding question: to what extent can artists take other work and play with it and call that a new creation, or yes, do they owe something to the original photographer in that case?
We're in court about that.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, who you know is like she's our Satan. Someone dug up a picture of her boyfriend in drag and said, "Hey, Marjorie, you're against drag, but what about your boyfriend?"
And she's also giving her treasurer to Santos, who lied about who his treasurer was. We got a civil rights lawyer confirmed to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals covering Georgia, Florida, and Alabama. She is Nancy Abudu, the first Black woman on the court, not lesbian. But she made Republican heads explode because she worked at as deputy legal director at the Southern Poverty Leadership Conference and for the ACLU on voting rights, same-sex marriage rights, and rights for ex-offenders. Her father was an anti-apartheid activist in South Africa. She's a graduate of Columbia University in Tulane Law. Known as a consensus builder, good luck with that.
And not our favorite person, Sam Brinton, who worked at the Department of Energy in the Obama administration.
Yes.
Non-binary. He was in trouble for absconding with other people's luggage at airports. He used to work in the Department of Energy as a nuclear official, and he's now been arrested as a fugitive in the theft of women's suitcases at an airport.
Right. Hunting for fashion. You mentioned.
And I apologize. I just referred to them as he. Right. They're non-binary, probably use they, them pronouns. My mistake.
Their job. You mentioned out Representative Robert Garcia. He brought a privilege resolution to expel George Santos, who pleaded guilty to fraud in Brazil and is under a 13 count indictment here in the U.S. Republicans, even those who've called on him to resign, referred the matter to the Ethics Committee, where it already is, and they won't, the other Republicans won't call for him to be removed.
So on to international news.
Yes.
In Japan, as the G7 was meeting, all the other countries started putting pressure on Japan to do better on LGBTQ rights. Japan is the only one of the G7 that I think does not legalize same-sex marriage, certainly does not have non-discrimination laws. Conservatives in Japan are pushing back, but our ambassador, Rahm Emanuel, was pushing this. And they all made a big video. We'll just show you a little bit of it, pushing Japan.
Japan is on the horizon of hope and history for everybody. The time is now to ensure that everybody is seen, everybody is heard, and everybody is counted. None of us have a person to waste when we build a strong future. This is a moment to shape that future and not be shaped by the past.
Gender-based discrimination or discrimination against the LGBTIQ community is wrong. We need good legislation to prevent it. Let's work on it together.
Greetings from the Argentine Embassy. We are very happy to be part of Tokyo Rainbow Pride in support and to celebrate the LGBTQ community. Arigato gozaimasu.
Ireland is proud to stand in solidarity with the LGBTIQ plus community, and we are committed to working with all our EU and international partners to achieve the fundamental human rights goal of equality for all.
So this is pissing off some of the, you know, some of the Japanese. Well,
it goes on for 4.5 minutes.
But, you know, the government did come up with a bill for, you know, rights, but the activists there call it absolutely meaningless.
Yeah, I mean, they're inching forward. Parts of Japan have legalized civil unions, but they got a long way to go.
Okay. In Thailand, 8 political parties that won a majority of the seats in the May 14th elections have pledged to rewrite the constitution to recognize same-sex marriage and military conscription, except in cases of emergency. So they are supporting the leader of the Move Forward party that got the most votes, but it's subject to the military in the Senate, basically, which controls the Senate, to decide who gets to be prime minister.
Estonia, same-sex marriage has passed its first reading in the parliament and is moving forward there. And the European Court of Human Rights has ordered Romania to legalize same-sex unions.
And a terrible story out of Navan, Ireland, where a teen was bullied. He'd been bullied for a long time, and then the kids just beat the crap out of him and really sent him to the hospital. It has moved them in Navan to say, we're going to have a pride parade. And the out gay prime minister, the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, says, I'm interested in going.
Five kids were arrested for that assault. They have been released with no charges yet. They have been referred to a diversion program. And video of the event was first put up on social media, but then taken down as too violent and disturbing.
A report from Ugandan gay activist Frank Mugisha about the passage of the draconian anti-LGBTQ bill. He says, we're being hunted like animals. Neighbors there castrated a transgender person with a kitchen knife. And we couldn't go to the police because we would be arrested. So we had to search for a doctor who would be sympathetic. We're being fired from work, rejected by family, beaten, raped, and worse. But they're trying to develop a network of safe houses, emergency shelters, and health care. And they will fight the law in court. They're asking for support through something called Avaaz, AVAAZ.com. .org. Go there to learn more.
In Tours, France, an explosive device was launched at an LGBT center there. It is the 6th such attack on that center this year.
All right. AIDS news.
No, I got a couple more here. Lovely Starbucks ad being run in India of a father with a trans child. It's run it here. It's lovely in India. And Taiwan is now allowing same-sex couples to adopt. They had only allowed single people to adopt. Now they're allowing same-sex couples to adopt. Malaysia is seizing rainbow Swatch watches, because that's certainly the downfall of civilization. And Brazil has announced in the beginning, in 2023, 80 LGBTQ people have been murdered or committed suicide, slightly down from last year, but not much. Now AIDS news.
Well, speaking of statistics, in the U.S., HIV transmissions did decline by 12% between 2017 and 2021. Racial disparities have abated, the CDC said, but our declines are modest compared to other wealthy Western nations that are more prompt about diagnosing the virus and promoting PrEP. The Netherlands saw a 70% drop, 68% in Italy, 44% in Australia, and 33% in the UK. We lack a national healthcare system, a network of sexual health clinics, and there's less coordination between government and CBOs. So it's still a disease of the disenfranchised. An estimated 1.2 million Americans have HIV, with just 87% diagnosed and 58% in treatment to the point of viral suppression. 70%, this is shocking. 70% of new cases are still among gay and bisexual men, even though we're 2% of the population. In Britain, they've so suppressed it among gay men that heterosexuals have more cases than gays.
As is true in Africa, too. And the CDC is reporting that Mpox vaccine effectiveness at preventing symptomatic infection, one dose of the vaccine, 75% protection, two doses, 86% protection. There are 30,000 cases of Mpox in the U.S., 95% among cis men, and 42 deaths. They are recommending that you keep getting vaccinated for Mpox. Watch out for a great documentary coming up on PBS, For the Love of Friends, the story of Brent Nicholson Earle and his run around the perimeter of the United States in 1986 for the end of AIDS. It airs here in the New York area on June 1st on a New Jersey channel at channel 1223 on my system at 9 p.m. For the Love of Friends.
And you wanted to talk about Helmut Berger.
Actually, we put that in different places. Helmut Berger was a beauty. He was a wonderful actor, and he has died in Salzburg, Austria, at the age of 78. It turns out he was the lover of Luchino Visconti, for 12 years until Visconti's death. Visconti put him in The Damned, which was a fantastic movie, in 1964. He also was said to be having a relationship with Marissa Berenson. He said, I'm bisexual. What's the problem? And I am faithful to Visconti. It's a tortured description, but whatever. He was also in Ludwig, conversation piece. He had a brutal father, probably because he was gay. And he was also in The Garden of the Finzi Contini, Ash Wednesday. He was on the Dynasty TV show. He was terrific. Sorry to hear about his death.
And tell us about the new audio book that's coming out.
Well, Audible has made an audiobook of Alison Bechdel's Dykes to Watch Out For comic strips. Now, you would think you would want to see the comic strips, but in fact, they have enlisted actors, including Carrie Brownstein, Jane Lynch, Roxane Gay, and is supposed to be very effective. That's coming out June 1st, Dykes to Watch Out For on Audible as an audiobook.
Okay. Namaste. I came to the musical version of Monsoon Wedding, not having seen the hit indie 2001 film by Myra Nair.
It was terrific.
About an arranged marriage between a rich young woman in Delhi, played by Selena Qureshi there, and an American Indian male banker, Devin Kaluri from Hoboken. So the question is, can a musical about this story work in 2023? And the answer at St. Anne's Warehouse in Brooklyn is an emphatic yes, with Nair directing again. It's a mix of family conflicts and those between sets of lovers. It put me in mind of a lot of Shakespeare mix-ups, like Much Ado About Nothing. But the beauty of Monsoon Wedding is that it's unique in New York musical theater, not just for its Indian accents and captivating music by Vishal Bhardwaj, but for its explosion of color and costumes and projections. The mood darkens a bit at the end of the first act, but this fine ensemble carries us through on the rocky road to love. Go along for the ride.
And if you can't see the play, find the movie, Monsoon Wedding. Well worth it. The Almodovar 31-minute Strange Way of Life was a huge hit at Cannes. They're supposedly releasing it at the end of the year. Don't ask me how or where. You mentioned Masha Gessen winning an award from the American Academy of Arts and Sciences. So did Jacqueline Woodson, the E.B. White Award. Flash, you'll know this by the time you see this, but Tina Turner just died at age 83. And I saw the Donna Summer documentary on HBO, Love to Love You. It's wild. She's wacky. And much smarter than
I. Who you call wacky?
Well, she's very quirky, but it was really captivating and a little strange. And they get into her tiff with the LGBTQ community. I think they could have spent a little more time on it. They give her a little bit of a pass, but the documentary is well worth seeing.
Now, we told you that Harmony, the Barry Manilow, Bruce Sussman musical about the hit comedian harmonists whose careers were ended by the rise of the Nazis, is coming to Broadway in October. But the six actors here who play the singers are going to join Manilow on stage at Radio City Music Hall for his five concerts, May 31st to June 4th.
That could be cool to go see. We like the play. We like Barry.
Hey, Architectural Digest featured RuPaul's Beverly Hills Mansion. And I'm going to link, because it's pretty hilarious, to his tour of his Beverly Hills mansion.
I would like to see that. And there's a new queer music podcast on SiriusXM called Sounds Gay by Sarah Esikoff. And it's an exploration of queer music and how it's affected people's lives and could be well worth listening to.
Right. So, And by the way, if you want to get our emails, go to gayusatv.org and you can sign up. You'll get an email asking if you want to be on the list, and you say yes, and you'll get a weekly email tell you what's going on, one a week.
I'm wearing my Swatch watch in honor of the Malaysians who have lost theirs. This is actually a Japanese anime character. It's not a rainbow one, but I do like these watches because they're not expensive and some of them are very attractive.
Great being with you.
Someone said to me, Anne, so now you're wearing a cartoon character on your wrist.
Thanks for being with us, everybody.
We'll be back next week. Yes, thank you. And Tina Turner lived a long, happy-ish eventually life, and she'll be missed. And get ready for Pride, because that's coming up next month. By the time we see you again, it'll be the beginning of June that weekend.
Which is also LGBTQ Families Day, June 1st.
A lot going on June 1st, I think. We're just filling the last few seconds, which we're counting down one by one. And yes, we will see you again next week. Thank you for joining us this week.